But tonight in Jeremiah 22, God gives the answer to everything. How about that? The answer to everything. Israel, as you know, has been disobedient. God pronounced the punishment that was coming, and that punishment was going to be Jerusalem destroyed and Babylon taking Israel captive. And they're kind of in the midst of that here in these chapters. So down to verse 8 of Jeremiah 22, the Bible says, "And many nations shall pass by this city, and they shall say every man to his neighbor, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this great city? Then they shall answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God, and worshipped other gods, and served them." So we'll look at more of the chapter, but the title of the message is, O Earth, Earth, Earth. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for your wisdom, for your encouragement through your word, for, Lord, your power, your presence tonight. We commit the service to you. May you be glorified in it. We thank you for the privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we see here, God does care about his testimony before the world. Israel, of course, is an illustration of a Christian. Israel is God's chosen people. We are God's chosen people when we're born again. And God, when he chose them and created them, if you will, from Abraham, he said, I want you to be a peculiar people. I want you to be an example to the rest of the world of what happens when a people choose to put God first. And Israel chose not to put God first. And so God had to protect his own testimony and punish them, which we're seeing taking place here around 600 years B.C. But when it comes to Christians, if you go to 1 Corinthians 11, God says the same thing for us. God saved us and left us here after our salvation that we might glorify and please him, that we might be a testimony of what happens when a person is born again. And God wants his testimony to be a blessing to the world, not the opposite, not a testimony of hypocrisy. So notice 1 Corinthians 11:31, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are chastened, when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. God cares about his testimony in us as well. Just as he cared about his testimony in Israel, he cares about our testimony. What are we saying to the world through our behavior? Are we saying that God's changed us and made us different and that we want to please the Lord? Or are we saying that Christianity really doesn't make that much of a difference and we act like the world? And the problem is when it's option two, then God has to step in often and correct us. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. In other words, let your testimony be a reflection of what's happened in your heart, that you're different. And 1 Peter 2 says, we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. God says that about us. I'll read those again. Chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people. That's how God describes the church. He says that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's 1 Peter 2:9. So we are here to be a holy nation, a peculiar people, that's to show forth his praises. Israel was created to show forth his praises, and instead they chose to live disobediently. And so as we see here in Jeremiah 22:8, when people are asked the question, why did God destroy this city? This was God's city. This was Jerusalem. This was the city of peace that God said, this is the city of David. Why did God allow it to be destroyed? And notice what people will answer in Jeremiah 22:9. They shall answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God and worshipped other gods and served them. Because they disobeyed. When we break our covenant of obedience, and when we got saved, we made a covenant. We said, Lord, you're my Lord. Did we not? Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the, what? Lord Jesus. That word Lord means master. So the day we got saved, we made Jesus our Lord, our master, which meant we were going to obey His commands. We made a covenant that we would do that. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So when we disobey, we're breaking the covenant, just as Israel here says, they have forsaken God's covenant, therefore God is going to destroy the city. How sad. Let's jump on down to verse 21. God said, I spake unto thee in thy prosperity, but thou saidst, I will not hear. We talk a lot about why God allows trials in our lives, and one of the main reasons, of course, is God refines us through trials, tests us, grows us. But the truth is, there's an aspect of us as human beings that we are naturally complacent. And when things are going well, I mean from an earthly perspective, our finances are good, our health is good, everything's pretty much in good shape as far as our earthly comforts. Do we pray as fervently as when things are tough and when we're going through a trial and a test? And the typical answer is we don't. So another reason why God allows trials is to teach us to keep relying on Him and to keep us on our knees, because He created us for fellowship. And so He says to Israel here, I started speaking to you about your disobedience back when things were really good. Back when Solomon was your king and you were one of the greatest kingdoms on the earth. And Israel was wealthy. Israel was not at war. Things were really good. That was the time of your prosperity. I started speaking to you then through Solomon and through other prophets saying, obey. And when things are good in our lives, again, from an earthly perspective, are we listening? Are we in the Word every day when things are good? Or are we only in the Word every day when the trials are coming and the tests? Now, if you go back to Proverbs chapter 30, Solomon understood this, because Solomon was the beginning of the end, was he not? You think about it. Israel was at its peak and its greatness during his reign, but by the end of his reign, he was worshiping other gods, and then the kingdom split under Jeroboam and Rehoboam. So under one man's rule, first David and then Solomon, under his rule, Israel went from the greatest kingdom to a split kingdom. Why? Because he led the nation into disobedience. But God, in speaking through Solomon while he was listening and he was writing God's words, verse 8 of Proverbs 30, he says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. So do you see what Solomon's saying there? He's saying, Lord, I pray that I not be super poor or super rich. If I'm super poor, then I'm going to be led to go steal just to eat. And it's wrong to steal. Or if I'm super rich, what does he say? I'm going to forget God, essentially. And Jesus said himself, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Why is that? Because a rich person tends to trust in their riches. Why do they need God? They can buy whatever they want. So God's saying to Israel here, I spake unto thee in thy prosperity. I started speaking to you about your obedience back when things were really good and you were wealthy and you weren't fighting. And back in our passage, he says, verse 21, but thou saidst, I will not hear. So then that was when they started hardening their heart and saying, we don't really want to hear from God. We just would rather not listen. This has been thy manner from thy youth. So he's talking to Israel. He's saying, You've been rebellious from the start. Now you've had some good patches, but essentially, this has been thy manner, that thou obeyest not my voice. He's saying you're naturally rebellious. Well, this is man, is it not? Look at Genesis chapter 6, the chapter where God brought the flood way, way, way back. I don't know how many years ago. 5,000 years ago, let's say. It's a long time. Just before God flooded the earth, look what he says about man, Genesis 6, 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so God brought the flood and said, I'm going to start over. Which he did with Noah and his family. And then centuries later, what did he do but bless Israel with a great king who was a man after God's own heart? David. But what God is saying is, even during your prosperity, you still had a rebellious heart and didn't want to listen. And of course, Solomon was the peak of that. And after that, you read about the kings, and most of them, it says, they were wicked in the sight of the Lord. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Wicked, wicked, wicked. Look at Proverbs 14:2 now. Again, written by Solomon while things were really good for Solomon from an earthly perspective. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Proverbs 14:2, look what Solomon wrote. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. So God tries to speak to us when things are good. Often we aren't listening. But this rebellious spirit, we can't allow it in our lives. It only leads to trouble and chastisement for a Christian. So back to our passage, Jeremiah 22:22, the wind shall eat up all thy pastures, and thy lovers shall go into captivity. Surely then shalt thou be ashamed and confounded for all thy wickedness. Then. He's saying, because of your rebellious heart, I've got to take you to the bottom. Isn't it sad that it takes that sometimes? But we've all seen it in Christians. Some of them that just have this rebellious spirit. The Bible says, he that hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. He that being often reproved, Proverbs 29:1. And I've met Christians, I've counseled Christians, they just won't listen. They just won't stop rebelling. And God has to bring them literally to the bottom before they'll listen. And for Israel, losing Jerusalem, having it destroyed, and being taken off into Babylon, that was the bottom. And he says, then, once I bring you to this point, and I bring you to Babylon, and you have no more Jerusalem, you have no more king, then you'll be ashamed and confounded. But he's still going to leave them there for 70 years. Remember, Israel's walk is always a picture of our Christian walk. So we don't want to get to this point where God has to say, I'm going to have to take you to the bottom before you'll listen and be ashamed for your wickedness. Instead, repent. But like I said at the beginning of the message, God gives the answer to all of it in verse 29. Look what he says. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Always comes down to the book. What a great verse. If the earth would just hear the word of the Lord, think how different the world would be. And if Christians would just hear the word of the Lord, think how different their Christian lives would be. Now, when Jesus left the earth, what did he say to his disciples? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Try to give the world an opportunity to what? Hear the word of the Lord. Because there's power in the word. Now, I often have people ask, well, what do I do about my unsaved family? And they're kind of anti-God, but they will listen a little bit. I just say, get as much Bible in there as you can while you're talking to them about the Lord. Get as much scripture in there as you can, because that's where the power is. Trust in the power of the book. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Only the Word has that power. But it comes down to, will people hear it? We heard it. Somebody shared it with us, and we heard it, and we got saved. Praise God. Jesus said in John 5:24, "He that heareth my word, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." We heard it and got saved. But God wants everybody to hear it. He wrote it down so people could hear it. And when we hear it, great things happen. Go to Ephesians 1 and we'll see that. And so God is saying to Israel, this was the answer all along, if you would have just listened to my word. He gave them very detailed instructions on what he wanted, how he wanted them to obey, how he wanted them to live and be a testimony. He said, if you would have just listened to the word of God. But they wouldn't. They wanted to do their own thing. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Notice it says, heard the word of truth. That's what happened if you're born again this evening, is you heard the word of truth and you what? You believed. You believed on Jesus Christ. You trusted him. But Jesus wants everybody to hear the word of the Lord. It all starts there. Go to Romans 10 and I'll show you. God gives the progression, how it's supposed to work. Most of us know verse 13. Of Romans 10, one of the most abused verses in the Bible, probably. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it's a great truth. It goes on to say, verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So God is saying, you can't get saved if you haven't heard the gospel. And you're not going to hear the gospel unless somebody preaches it to you. And they're not going to preach it to you unless they've been sent to where you are. But you got to hear it. And God is saying, even to Israel, hear the word of the Lord. I want the whole earth to hear my word. And even more so now that we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. God wants the world to hear the word. And that's where the power is. Look at Luke 16, if you would. Most of you know this story in Luke 16, where the rich man and Lazarus, or sorry, the beggar and the rich man died. And the rich man went to hell, and the beggar went to paradise. And the rich man asked Moses, he was able to see Moses across a great gulf, and he said, can you send someone to witness to my brothers? Because if somebody came back from the dead, surely they would listen. And this was Moses' answer, verse 31. Moses, he said unto him, if they hear not, it was Abraham that he saw. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So you see what he's saying? If they're not willing to listen and hear the word of God, even if someone came back from hell, they wouldn't be persuaded. Again, that emphasizes the power of God's word. And that's why God says, that's the answer. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. And then we'll look at another verse in John 12, if you would. Jesus here talking about his word and how it will be the end all at the judgment. We're not going to be judged by what church we went to. We're going to be judged by this book. John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word. There it is. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. People are going to be judged based on this. This will be the measure. For the unsaved, did you believe the story of Jesus Christ? that he came and died and rose again for you and offered you eternal life? Did you trust him? And even for the saved, we're going to be, thankfully, not judged for our sins. But God's still going to measure us against this book when it comes to reward. 1 Corinthians 3, we read about the gold, silver, precious stones, and the wood, hay, stubble. That's all based on, did we obey this? Did we listen to the word? Did we obey it? So God says to Israel, you're very close to losing your city. And after you do, people are going to walk by and say, what happened to this great city? And people will have to answer and say, because they forsook the covenant of their God. God said, I even spoke to you when things were good and warned you to obey me. And if you chose to disobey me, I was going to have to chastise you. And that time has come. And in the next few chapters, we're going to see it actually occur, where Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in and take them captive into Babylon. Like I said, Jeremiah bridges that time gap. First he warned them, and then it happened, and then he actually prophesied from Babylon. So he bridged that event as a prophet chronologically. But he says, after it all happens, then you're going to be ashamed. After you're captive, then you'll be ashamed. Wouldn't it have been better if you had listened to my word to start with? And God says the same to us and to the entire earth. Hear the word of the Lord. That's the answer. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear it and do it. Be ye not hearers only, but doers. So we can learn a lot from Israel's story, and we will continue to do so here in Jeremiah. But tonight we can learn the importance of listening to this book and then obeying it. Even when things are good. Hear the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word.